You can turn with me to Psalm chapter 107. As I said, I'd like to have a little bit of a Thanksgiving theme for the message here this morning. Trust God's word will have the inspiration for us in regards to this morning. As I thought of the subject of Thanksgiving and as I came to preparing a message for on this subject, you know, there's a lot in the Bible in regards to gratitude and thanksgiving, thankfulness. And there's so many examples that we can look to, you know, people that gave thanks to God and chapters of praise and adoration to God. And I felt a little, as I started into it, I felt a little like a squirrel in the road, you might say. You know what I mean. Driving down the road and there's a squirrel in the middle of the road and they go this way and that way and they can't decide which way to run. And that's a little how I felt as I came to the subject of which way do I turn in. But I feel the Lord has led me to this chapter and that's what I want to look at this morning. There's many, many chapters. There's much that speaks on the subject of thanksgiving. Psalm 107. I've simply taken my title here this morning from the first six words, I believe, of the psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. If you notice, there's many other psalms that begin similarly. I noticed the two just before this begin very much the same. I see Psalm 106 begins with, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And so there's many psalms that are fitting as we look at thankfulness. That many psalms that are praise and thanksgiving and that are a call to thankfulness. And it would be good to read all of them, but of course we can't do that this morning. I'm planning to read this entire psalm. It's 43 verses. It's a bit long, but I'd like to read it and like us to take note of the pointers in here for the calls to thankfulness. Before we read, I point out to you this, if you look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That same phrase we find three other times, a total of four times throughout this chapter. It's in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. We have that same verse, that same exclamation repeated over and over. So take note of that as we read. Let's read this psalm, Psalm 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the hungry, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth, and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it, and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise, and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Well, I don't profess this morning to understand all these verses, and there's much here that we won't look at. There's much here that we won't have time to pull out. But I'd like to pull out some verses here in regards to thankfulness this morning and gratitude. Verses here in this chapter and other places in the Bible. First off here, that exclamation, that first one in verse 8 that I pointed out to you before we read, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I see here in that statement or exclamation, maybe the implications there that men don't always give this praise and thanksgiving to God. Men forget to praise the Lord for his goodness and wonderful works. And we know actually it's the default nature of man, isn't it, to not only forget God's goodness, but to be unthankful. To be unthankful. And it doesn't take very long, and we see this unthankfulness in children, don't we? And sometimes it's in adults as well, isn't it? But it's just pretty natural to complain, to be unthankful when things don't go right. And it's rather a thankful spirit that needs to be taught. It's a thankful spirit that needs to be cultivated. The default nature of man is to be unthankful. And as I thought of that, you know, we have a verse there in 2 Timothy 3. It says, it gives a list of traits there that are going to be characters of people, of ungodly men in the last days. And right in that list is unthankfulness. It says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. And so we see that, don't we? We see that unthankfulness, you know, coming out in people today, you know, and complaining and so on. The default nature of man is to be unthankful. And you know, us as Americans as a whole, we're some of the most blessed people, aren't we? You know, as far as money and possessions and so forth. But you know, as I thought of it, it doesn't, all those things, our money and possessions, don't seem to be making Americans any more thankful as a whole, does it? And I think it's very ironic that right after Thanksgiving Day, what do we have? We have Black Friday, where we go out and see what kind of deals we can find, I guess. I went Black Friday shopping one time several years ago. And, well, suffice it to say that you can observe the worst coming out in people, and you see the unthankfulness coming out in people. And I say it's apparent that, as Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he has. Let's just get that clear in our minds this morning. You know, the amount of money or stuff that I have or don't have should not affect my happiness or thankfulness or contentment. But you know, that's just a little opposite of what our American culture teaches us, isn't it? Our culture says more money, more good stuff, more happy, right? Something like that. Well, that's not true. That's not true. And let's not have our heads in the sand so much as to say we've not been affected in some way, influenced at all by some of that kind of thinking. Because I believe we have. It does affect us. But let's get that straight here this morning in our minds, that more money, more things does not equal more happiness. And maybe we'll have more on, a little more on contentment later on here. So unthankfulness, we see it around us, we hear it, and it's the default nature that we all have and we all face. But may it not be a part of us as people of God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and wonderful works. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. So how about it this morning? What about you and I? Is that how I view it? Is that how I see it, that God has been good? That God is a good God. God's full of goodness toward his people. That God has been good to me. God's been good to me. As you look back over your life, reflect. Can you say that God has been good? You know, as you look back, we see sometimes, you know, there were some bumps in the road. There were stressful things in life, maybe. And experiences that God allowed and brought in that I didn't plan for at all. Those experiences that were not fun at all. Maybe it was hard things, whatever, in church life, financially, in health. You put it in there. As you look back on those things, can you say, God has been good? Yes, even through those negative those hard times, those negative things, God has been good. He's been right with me through those things and has brought me out a better person, hopefully, to his glory. Now maybe you can see in looking back that God has used those things, those hard times, those challenging times, to teach me patience, or maybe teach me humility, or to be more forgiving, more compassionate, or more willing to help others. And can you say, yes, God has been good to me through it all? And you know, it just blesses me when I see people. When you meet people like that, it's, you know, people that it seems like, you know what I'm talking about. It seems like there's people out there that everything happens to, you know, the accident, the health problem, the financial loss, the death in the family, whatever it is. It just seems like all piled on them. And it seems like if anyone would have a good reason to complain, it would be them, and they would be complaining. But they're cheerful, and they say things like, God is good, and God's been with me. That just blesses my heart when I hear and see that. Well, may we all be like that and grow in that. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Well, what is some of that goodness? What are some of those wonderful works and goodness of God that we can be thankful for? I'd like to list a few that I pulled out of here. And there's no way we'll cover, of course, there's no way we can cover all the goodness of God to us here this morning or any time. The first one I have is found right here in verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. That's what we can thank the Lord for. Thank the Lord for His mercy and His great mercy. You know, it's only because of His mercy that any of us are here today. It's only through the mercy of God that I woke up this morning. It's because of His mercy that He gave me a new day. And it's only because of His mercy in my life that I can stand here and speak the word today. His mercy endureth forever. You know, none of us deserved it, did we? All of us, like sheep, had gone astray and turned to our own way. Is that Isaiah, a verse from Isaiah? And it's God's great mercy that brought us back. And it's God's great mercy that continues to be long-suffering with us. And I believe it's His great mercy as well that is withholding judgment today on all the sin and the wrong that we see and suffering. You know, He's not willing that any should perish. It's His great mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. The next one I picked out, I see right here in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed. You know, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Not so long ago at home, we were reading for the children's Bible story from the book of 1 Samuel, where the children of Israel, this was before the time of the kings, and Samuel was their judge. They had not been faithful in serving the Lord, and the Philistines were ruling over them. Remember how the Philistines took the Ark of God in the battle, and they kept it for a while. It troubled the Philistines, and they finally sent it back, and it stayed there in that one house, I believe, for a while. But Israel began to realize what the problem was. They needed to turn back to God. And Samuel called them together and said, you got to clean house and put away these strange gods. And let's gather together and I'll pray for you, he said. Well, they did this. And the Philistines heard about this. All the children of Israel gathered together. They must be, you know, having an insurrection over there. They're getting ready to fight. Let's go fight them. And so the children of Israel were all there gathered together, and here come the Philistines ready to fight. And it was a bad situation. They weren't prepared at all to fight. And the Philistines were a strong enemy. They had control over them. And they said, Samuel, cry unto the Lord for us. continually that he'll save us. And Samuel made an offering, I believe, offered a lamb, it says, and prayed unto the Lord. And it says God heard that prayer. And God gave a great deliverance that day and defeated the Philistines and saved them. And you remember how Samuel then set up a stone and they called it Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Well, as I thought of that, you know, just like the Lord delivered the Israelites that day, you know, He has delivered us as well. He's delivered us from the enemy. You know, just like those Israelites, we have an enemy that's much stronger than you and I. No chance at all, no chance at all that we can overcome our enemy, that is Satan. But it says, He hath redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. God sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave His only begotten Son to give salvation that we might be saved. And Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. That's a lot in a few sentences. But God has redeemed us and removed our sins, forgotten them. We've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That is something to be thankful for. Another one that I see here in the next few verses. And I don't know what some of these verses are referring to here. You know, the gathering them out of the lands from the east, west, north, and south, and so forth. I'm not sure what all that's referring to in relation to Israel. But I see here in verse 4, it refers to wandering. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. And then verse 7 stood out to me. It says, and He led them forth by the right way. He led them forth by the right way. The point I want to make from this is that God is our guide through life. You know, life is a bit of a journey. There's some wandering experiences. There's some wandering through wilderness experiences. And you know, we don't always know where the path will take us. But all the while, God is there, directing. If we trust in Him, and if we look to Him for direction, He's directing us, guiding our path, guiding our way through the circumstances of life. And He's always there. He never abandons those that cry to Him for direction. He leads them by the right way. Some other verses in regards to that, Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Also, Psalm 48, 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. God is a guide. He has a guiding hand. And I'm thankful to God for His guiding hand in my life. You know, through the times when I was on the wrong course, God didn't abandon me, and He steered me back to the right way. Another one I see here in verse 6. It says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. I don't know if you picked up on it, but this verse also, I found after some study, that this verse also is used 4 times throughout this chapter. It's not quite word for word, but it's very close. Here in verse 6 and verse 13 and 19 and 28, very similar wording. You see, God is a deliverer. Like I said before, He's seeing and watching as we journey through life, and He's right nearby, ready to help when we get into trouble. And when we get into trouble because we didn't follow His guiding hand. And He is just there waiting for us to cry out to Him in our distresses, and He delivers us from them. Another one I picked out here, and very similar, is that God is our provider. He takes care of us, provides for us in every way, you know, spiritually and physically as well. Verse 9 here talks about the hungry. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with goodness. That certainly applies to us today, doesn't it? Verse 36 to 38, it talks about that as well. There He maketh the hungry to dwell. They may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied, and so on. God provides. He's a provider. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what 2 Peter 1 verse 3 tells us. You know, He's provided for us by way of spiritual food. And He's provided for us physically as well, by way of physical food. And as I thought of thanksgiving, a verse from 1 Timothy 6 came to mind. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And you know, most of us, if not all of us, have all of these things and a lot more. God provides for us, and He has blessed us. I see also here in verses 33, it speaks of turning rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground. And then jump down to 35, He turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs. What I see in these verses is that God provides a way for His people. He always provides a way. And sometimes when it looks like it's impossible, it's just dry ground here. There's no water around. There's no resources here. It's a barren land. It's a wilderness. You know, God works with those impossibilities, those things that we see as impossibilities. Those impossibilities are not impossibilities to God at all. He can make springs of water where there used to be just dry ground. That's an easy thing for God. He can provide a way through the wilderness where there used to be no way. God provides, and He always provides a way for His people. Another one I see here, reason for thanksgiving, is that God is wonderful in His creation. You know, the earth He's made, the sky and the heavens. It talks about that here in verse 23 and 24 a little bit here. They that go down to the sea in ships, do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. I don't know what all that's talking about, what all the wonders in the deep are, but I know if you study the deep, the oceans, lakes, and some of that, there's some marvelous things there. I'm not a seaman, so I don't have firsthand on some of those things. But I do know there is marvelous and wonderful things in nature, in the sky, in the earth, and heavens. There's many things God has given to us to enjoy while we're here. You think of simple things, or that seems simple to us anyway. like a rainbow. We're used to seeing rainbows. You know, back there in Genesis, when God gave the promise to Noah that I will no more destroy the earth with a flood, he set the bow, the rainbow in the sky, as a token, it says, of his promise. Well, think of how beautiful a rainbow is. You know, God could have made just a blue streak or something like that in the sky, and it would have served the same purpose. It would have done the same thing. But he made it awesome. He made it fabulous. Just all the colors always in the same order. It's just amazing and wonderful. And other things, like the sunsets we see here. You know, he could have made the sun to just come up and go down. Not a lot of fanfare, you might say. But no, there's awesome displays, awesome sunsets that we see. He made it beautiful and wonderful. And those are just two small illustrations of that, of God's wonderful works to men in nature. Well, one more that I have. Goodness of God to give thanks for. And that is in verse 7. I already gave one from the beginning of the verse. Verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. That they might go to a city of habitation. You know, after God is through leading us through life, there's a city of habitation prepared for us. I was blessed by that verse. That is a heavenly city. You know, there's some nice looking cities here on earth. You know, nice buildings and streets that are really something to see, but you know, they're not gonna hold a candle to they're not gonna even compare remotely to the heavenly city that God has prepared for us. Not even close. And you can read in Revelation 21, read a description of that city. He hath led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Well, these are some of the goodnesses of the Lord, the good things of God. The question I'd raise is, how does this affect me? How does a thankful spirit, being thankful for these things, how does that affect my life? What does that look like? Let's go back to verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How about it? What does that look like in my life? Maybe for an illustration, I suppose that one day I fell into a deep dark pit, and I was there hanging on by a couple of fingers. I couldn't get out of there myself, and if someone didn't come rescue me, I would die. And I called for help, and here, maybe Daryl was walking past, and he heard me, and he came running and pulled me out of there, let down a rope or whatever, and helped me out of that horrible pit, and got me to safety, and helped get me all cleaned up. Well, the next day, maybe I meet Tim and Andy on the street, and they ask me about this. Well, what do I say? I say, yeah, I fell into a pit. I got out. It all worked out all right. Managed to get out. Probably not. Probably I would say, you know, did you hear about that? Yeah, Daryl there, he came and helped me out. He rescued me. Such a good friend to have. He's a hero. And you tell everyone how, I just tell everyone how Daryl helped me and saved me. Well, you know, that's exactly what happened to you and I, isn't it? we were in a horrible pit. At least that's what I find written in Psalm 40, verse 2. It says, He brought me up out of an horrible pit in the miry clay, I believe it says. And He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I don't know if I have that quite word for word. Well, what about it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We've all been, all of us that are redeemed by the blood of Christ, let's say so. Tell what Christ has done for us. Tell others what great things He has done for me. Like that man who was rescued. Or sorry, like the man who Jesus cast out the devils. It says he went and told everyone what great things God had done for him and published it abroad a great deal, I think it says. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, that's us. That's us. We're the redeemed. Let's be faithful in that. Let's tell what Jesus Christ has done for us. Well, what else? How else does the thankfulness affect my life? I couldn't help but notice these next few verses here after Psalm 107. The first three verses in Psalm 108, it says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. I take from these verses and many others in the Psalms, you know, we praise God through music and singing, don't we? We praise God in song. And I believe God's people are a singing people. We have a lot to sing about. How else does Thanksgiving affect my life? Well, in all of life, doesn't it? You know, sometimes our voices can't sing or can't sing so well. But let's be sure our life always does. Let's be sure our life always sings. Thanksgiving affects all of my life. I would call it thanks living. Thanks living. We have that verse there on the front of the bulletin this morning. From Ephesians 5, verse 20, I believe it is. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another one that's similar. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, some of those everythings and all things are what's a bit difficult sometimes, aren't they? In everything give thanks. Well, just a few more verses and thoughts before we close here. Ways thankfulness will affect my life. Philippians 4:6 says this, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it says. That phrase, with thanksgiving, kind of stood out to me. You know, when we pray, at least myself, we pray to God, we often ask for things. Lord, keep me safe today. Bless me in what I'm doing here, if it is your will. Maybe before a trip, we pray for safety on the trip. And we ask God for things. You know, it's just a reminder for me and for all of us, I believe. Along with that, do I remember to thank God for what He has done? What He has done for me? How He has helped me yesterday and kept me safe in the trip or at work or whatever it was? That's just a challenge I leave with us. That we bring our supplications with thanksgiving. Well, we didn't talk very much about contentment this morning. But you know, thanksgiving and contentment go just hand in hand, don't they? I talked a little about how, the American way of thinking maybe is the more stuff and the more money I get, the more happy I'll be. And you know how, yeah, we mentioned already how our society does much to stir up the discontent spirit, I believe, in each one of us. But you can't separate thankfulness and contentment. A content person will be thankful, and a thankful person is content. That verse I already gave from 1 Timothy, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Another one from Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Some things to remember as we think about thanksgiving and contentment. Well, there's much more we could say this morning. I think it's time to close. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let's kneel for prayer.